The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders, the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
5 new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Welcome to Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart. Joining me in the studio today are President Peter and Sheena Joyce, who have recently served in the Utah Ogden Mission. It's a thrill to have you with us today and to be able to discuss some of your experiences. And first of all, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your background and how you came into the gospel and a little bit about your family and background, if you would.
Well, maybe I could start.
Please.
We are British, of course. You probably tell that very easily. I'm English. My wife is Scottish. We met in Oxford when I was studying there. And I served a mission before we got married. I worked for the nation's central bank, the Bank of England, for many years. And then we came to the United States, actually, in 1982, on a short-term assignment for me to work with the International Monetary Fund. And that short-term assignment turned into a lifelong career, and I was there until I retired.
All right.
Born in Scotland, moved to England when I was about 12 years old, married young, divorced young, met Peter about a year after I joined the church, and we were just good friends. Had fun together, talked, a lot of talking about gospel. And then things sort of developed from there. We got engaged. He left on his mission, and we got married 15 days after his return. The three children became ours on our wedding day. And we had another two girls. Then that was it. Had the five children. And just had a lot of fun together, enjoyed family life. It was probably in some ways easier for us. It just happened to be easier for us to incorporate three children with a new husband, a new father. But it worked more or less. Mm-hmm. Still had our share of problems and moved.
One of the interesting things about this was that I was called to serve my mission in the same mission where Sheena was living. And I actually served most of my mission about 20 miles away from where she lived. We told our missionaries in this mission, no way, don't even think about it.
Took a great deal of discipline to focus.
Well, it did.
Missionary work has always been important. We had a son who served in France and a daughter who served in Sicily in Italy. And we never really planned for a mission. We just took it for granted.
Yeah.
And when we got to the age, it was then taken out of our hands. We had thought of an 18-month mission, but...
And when the Lord calls, you respond.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what a wonderful and interesting assignment to serve in the Ogden, Utah mission, you know, the heart of the church. And I'm very interested to hear some of your experiences being able to serve here where there are so many members of the church and where the church is so strong. Share with us a little bit about your feeling and experience in Ogden.
Well, you know, this was a real surprise for us because I had served as a bishop of a Spanish-speaking ward, and we had been told originally that we would be serving a Spanish-speaking mission. So when the second letter came from the brethren, it changed our assignment to Ogden. And so that was quite a surprise for us. We'd actually been preparing in Spanish for about 4 months to serve this mission.
It scared me to death. Here I was, not only a Brit, a divorcee, and a convert, and they're sending me to the center of the church. And that was a bit scary, but it was just the best.
But these missions are actually wonderful, these Utah missions. And I think it's unfortunate that even a lot of members who live in Utah don't know how much missionary work is being done here. I think probably that's the case because most companionships of missionaries here are assigned to between one and six stakes, whereas in most missions you'll have a, a pair of missionaries assigned to a ward or to half a ward. But it's just been wonderful for us. We've had 150 stakes, all of those leaders to work with and encourage in missionary work. And the Utah missions baptize so many people. They're among the top baptizing missions in the English-speaking world. So, our missionaries, when they're called to serve in these Utah missions, they get a little bit of ribbing from friends.
They say,
are you going on a home teaching mission?
Yeah.
what are you going to do in Utah? Well, in fact, the fact is that a huge amount of missionary work is done here.
Yeah.
And there are some good reasons for that.
Yeah.
There are hundreds and thousands of good members, and they are the core of the missionary work. They bring their friends to the missionaries. They encourage their friends. They have their friends in their homes to have them taught the gospel. But there are also thousands and thousands of good people who have moved into Utah or who have lived here for many, many years who have not had the gospel. So you've got the ideal combination of the two factors that you need here for great missionary work.
That's excellent. Tell us a little bit about the makeup of your missionaries. Do they, most of them come from the United States? Do they come from other areas?
No, probably a little over half come from the United States. At one stage, we had 10% of our mission who were Canadians, and then the rest were from South America, many countries of South America, Western and Eastern Europe, Asia, Australasia. We even had a Mongolian missionary,
which
was just thrilling for us. So all of the combination of nationalities that you'd have in any regular mission. But some of our missionaries who were from the United States came from states that are very close by. Mm-hmm. We had missionaries from Colorado, Wyoming, and even a couple from Utah itself.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure that made an interesting mix with having so many nationalities of mm-hmm. missionaries and their ability. Did you see any? Did you see the hand of the Lord in any of those assignments where, because of who they are, they had an impact on who they taught?
Do you remember the missionary who came to us as a visa waiter from Czechoslovakia? Why don't you share that story?
Yeah, we had an American missionary, actually, who had been assigned to Czechoslovakia.
The Czech Republic.
And he was waiting for his visa. So, we have many visa waiters mm-hmm. come to the Utah mission. So we took him in for a month or 6 weeks,
something like that. Yeah.
And we were trying to figure out where to send him. And we prayed about it, and I felt really impressed to send him to Huntsville, which is a little strange because Huntsville is way out there in the valley. And so we sent him to Huntsville, and while he was there, he met a Czech family that were on vacation in Huntsville and began teaching them the gospel. Eventually, I heard that when he went to the Czech Republic, he was assigned to the city where this family was living and completed the teaching process there.
That's marvelous.
It's wonderful how the hand of the Lord intervenes.
Eller Maxwell used to say that coincidence is the Heavenly Father's method of micromanaging the universe. and you see that a lot.
You do.
There are so many marvelous experiences like that, I'm sure, that you've had. Have you seen the work move among the members? What are some of the experiences that you recall of converts who have come into the church and their experiences?
Well, we've had, we've baptized about 200, on average, 180 to 200 converts a month. They come from all different backgrounds, and from the poorest to the most wealthy, people, immigrants from South America, to families that have been here forever. It's just a tremendous variety. But the one thing I think they all have in common is that they have all been impacted in some way by members of the church. You can't live in Utah without recognizing that there's something good here. And as people come into Utah and feel the influence of the gospel, sometimes they don't even recognize that it's the gospel. But, you know, people form some good impressions. Utah is maybe one of the last bastions of real family values in the nation. And people come here, and I think they begin to realize why. And it's the members of the church that are creating this kind of environment. And so, you know, our converts really have all been exposed to that. Most of them, at any rate, have been exposed to that before they've been taught by the missionaries.
Yeah. That's great, because the Lord works with each individual from wherever they are.
Well, you know, we try to impress on our missionaries that there was a special reason for them being in Utah, in Ogden, and that there were people there that only they could touch. And, you know, there was a marvelous little example of that. One night we had Peter had a call from this man in Logan, and he had gone through 14 sets of missionaries. And now he'd agreed to be baptized. Now, what he wanted was the other 14 sets to be there, and they couldn't. But the missionary, the current missionaries, were just the ones who were able to touch his spirit, and that's why they were sent there.
Yeah.
And that happened so often. I felt that I felt when he walked in that there was something, I knew him. I just knew him. And we just clicked as if we'd been brothers. And the hand of the Lord is there.
And they
do
the harvesting for all of the preparations and the sowing that had happened for so long before.
That's right.
I had a wonderful letter from a brother who had been trying for many years to get his father to join the church. And he had eventually invited two missionaries to come to his father's house. The letter just expressed how these two missionaries were the perfect combination for that father. One of them was just very outgoing, outgoing almost to a fault. I mean, just an in-your-face missionary who loved life and joked and just had a lot of fun being a member of the church. The other one was really deadly serious, but had a wonderful spirit and knew the scriptures really well. And he said how that combination had just touched his father's heart, and he came into the church after many years of being a non-member.
And isn't it a great opportunity to see all of these experiences unfold while you're serving as mission president?
It sure is. I mean, you just see the hand of the Lord in the work. We had a couple of our sisters. You know, we used to emphasize with our missionaries the importance of learning to listen to the Spirit and follow the promptings of the Spirit. We had a couple of sisters who were very, very good at this. One sister in particular. On one occasion, these two sisters were driving along the road, and the sister said to her companion, "We have to pull in and start walking along this road." And companion said, "There's nobody in the road. Who are we going to talk to?" And she said, "Just pull over. We have to pull over." Well, they pulled over and started walking down the road, and no more than 10 or 15 seconds later, a white SUV pulled over to the side, and the guy in the SUV said, "Are you missionaries?" And they said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I've been looking for missionaries for a long time. I'd like you to come and teach our family." So, you know, it's just a marvelous thing to follow the Spirit, follow the guidance of the Spirit. And so many of our missionaries got the feel of that and started doing it with wonderful results.
And really, so much of the experience is missionaries learning to get out of the road, because the Lord will do the work. You just have to be in tune with Him and go along with it.
Well, you know, we had 150 missionaries who would cover the whole mission in English. And then we had another 30, 35 who covered the mission in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And they would worry about, you know, "I've got to speak the language perfectly." And we teach, it's not you.
Yeah.
The language doesn't matter. It's your spirit that will teach.
Yeah.
And that happened time after time after time.
The Spirit's the great translator. All of our missionaries that go into all the languages of the world, you know, that gift of tongues is a real thing, but so much of it has to do with heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit communication that happens because of the Holy Ghost. And then we learn and improve and grow while we're experiencing this?
You know, I used to, unfortunately, given the mission, the size of the mission, I didn't get to teach with the missionaries as often as I would have liked to. Mm-hmm. But I did get out to teach, and particularly with the Spanish missionaries. And what I noticed all the time was, you know, you'd sit in there and just watch these young missionaries, 19 years old, barely out of high school, and they would teach with such power and authority. As soon as they got the feel of the scriptures and the knowledge that Heavenly Father answers prayers, they would just go and teach with that authority and power. And I used to just sit back and feel and look amazed, I guess. you know, they could teach in that kind of situation infinitely better than I could.
They had the calling. It's a miracle.
Yes.
I mean, there's no other... This is no rational explanation. This is a miracle.
It is. And it's a miracle in the life of every missionary.
Exactly. This is the Mormon Channel, and we're delighted to be a part of the program Into All the World, and also delighted to have Peter and Sheena Joyce, who've recently returned from serving in the Utah Ogden Mission and sharing their great experiences that they had there. It's wonderful to be a part of this marvelous work. What kind of experience did you have working with priesthood leaders, ward mission leaders, the membership of the church in helping them in their assignment?
You know, it's very interesting. In Utah, I think there are two almost opposite feelings you have as you're working here. The first is a feeling of tremendous gratitude for marvelous state presidents and bishops and high counselors and ward mission leaders who really know what they're doing and want to be doing it. And you get such a sense of support from them as you work with them. At the opposite extreme, sometimes one feels that people just haven't caught the vision of what's possible in Utah. You know, I mentioned that these Utah missions, it's not uncommon to baptize 180, 200, 230 people a month. But you just know that you could baptize 450 or 500 a month. Your missionaries have the capacity to teach. And if you could just find that many people, you could baptize them. And so the big challenge, I think, in Utah is just to, in a sense, to motivate the whole church membership here. Just to get the feeling of, yes, we're in the mission field. Years ago, I remember that in Utah, the sense was, we send our missionaries from Utah into the mission field. I think the real issue is that Utah itself is a very productive, fruitful mission field. And I wish just every member of the church here could get that feeling. You know, there's tremendous potential here. We could double and treble the baptisms here. Yeah. Of good people who are really prepared to receive the gospel.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the major challenges that you found in the mission field with either the missionaries or the converts that had to be overcome?
Mine would be dealing with the missionaries' health.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there isn't a mission president's wife who doesn't really worry about this. But very early on in the mission, I had an experience that taught me I wasn't on my own. We had a missionary who allowed members to persuade him to help move a piano. He didn't want to do it, but he did, and hurt his back and was in agony. And the doctor looked at him and said, you know, give him some painkillers for a few weeks. Good doctor. So that was fine. But I go out to talk to the missionary and explaining, and suddenly I know the man, the missionary, needs an MRI.
Hmm.
Now, I have no medical training, and I have a perfectly qualified doctor there, but I knew he needed an MRI and went back to talk to the doctor, and bless his heart, he looked at me but said, all right. And there were three ruptured discs, and he had to go home. And I learned that I wasn't on my own, that the Lord cared deeply for his missionaries and for a struggling mission president's wife.
Yeah.
And would just help. And that was so comforting.
Well, and, you know, I'm not sure that mission, that parents who send their children to the mission field understand that there is a mom at the other end who is taking care of the missionaries and loving them and nurturing them, but worrying about their health and following up and being stern when it needs to be. And that's a real important part of every missionary's mission that their mother at home often doesn't find out about.
You know, we introduced a little thing in the mission that, thanks to Sheena, she made the time to do this, and it was actually quite onerous. But every 6 weeks, we would send by email photographs and a little report on the mission to all the parents, and they really appreciated that. And I think it made them feel a little more comfortable in calling us if they needed to, to talk about problems that they were seeing from missionaries' letters coming home.
It established some really choice relationships with parents, especially the mothers.
As you saw missionaries come into the mission field, and many of the missionaries that the Lord calls to serve here are going to go home and have an opportunity to be great leaders in the church in the future and that sort of thing. There's this whole responsibility of training future leaders. What are some of the experiences that you had as you saw missionaries grow into this marvelous calling of a missionary and prepare themselves for the future?
Well, you know, when President Faust interviewed us for this mission, he said to us, "You will not be judged on the number of baptisms, but on how your missionaries turn out in 20 years' time." And it occurred to us a little bit into the mission that in 20 years' time, most of our missionaries will be married and preparing their sons to serve missions. We took that very, very seriously. And we had essentially two goals for our mission. One was that every one of our missionaries would be a worthy, sealed husband or wife, father and mother or mother. And that was the primary goal. And the second goal was to baptize 200 worthy, ready converts every month in our mission and to exceed that from time to time. We worked on that very, very hard. We focused very much with our missionaries on teaching them the spiritual skills, you know, how to pray, how to study the scriptures, how to receive revelation through the scriptures. We were blessed, very, very blessed, to have three temples in our mission. So every missionary pretty much lived within half an hour or so of a temple and could go every preparation day morning. So with those three things, knowing how to pray, knowing how to study the scriptures, the opportunity to go to the temple every week or almost every week, that was tremendous spiritual growing factor for our missionaries, and you could see the change that would take place once a missionary truly got into the scriptures and learned to receive answers to prayer. You didn't have to worry about him anymore. I mean, of course you worry about them, but you know, you could focus elsewhere, because missionaries who did that became self-motivated. And we had some missionaries who came into the mission very poorly prepared, but just turned their missions around as they went on.
And became servants of the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. Instruments. Yeah. Instruments in his hands.
Any experiences that come to your mind, or missionaries that you saw a remarkable change in over that course?
We've gone to quite a few sealings already. And there are just a few words that often the missionaries say to me. "Thanks for not giving up on me." And we never gave up. We loved them so much. And they loved us. And when you have that basis, a love of each other and a desire to do the Lord's work, we dig in the scriptures. We delve in there to discover. And I can remember missionaries coming who had been gamers, spent all day and all night in front of a computer playing games. And they struggled. And then suddenly they got it. And they looked, and you could look into their eyes, and they'd got it. And there's no value can be placed on that sort of an experience.
I had a very dear missionary, came in and spent the first year of his mission not living up to his potential. And then I received some very sad news from home and had to call him into the office and took him into a private room, and I just shared this experience with him, and he was very devastated, and he just cried, and I put my arm around him and we cried together for an hour. But at the end of that interview, I remember he turned to me and he said, "President, I haven't done the best that I could have done on this mission. But I promise you that from now on, I'm going to be a great missionary." And he was. He turned around his mission. It took something pretty devastating to get him to do that. But he did turn around his mission, became a very, very successful missionary. In fact, served in some of the highest leadership positions in the mission.
And then the change isn't just internal, because that change impacts so many others. Yeah. One of the things that I think it'd be interesting to talk about is the influence of that a missionary has on their companion, and the responsibility they have to each other. Again, a lot of times parents can't see why their son or daughter may be serving with a missionary who is maybe not motivated or challenging. And can you share some of those feelings from a mission president's perspective?
Well, I just wish that every parent and every missionary could sit through the transfer board experience. And you've done that too, haven't you?
Yeah, I'll say.
I know. And you know, as I know, that you fast and you prepare for that transfer board experience, and then you go into that office and you have some ideas of your own about what should be done. But what you end up with is an amazing outpouring of revelation that comes as you're working through that, and you sit there maybe with your assistants and work through that, Sheena used to help us too, but there are just times when the Spirit speaks directly to you as a mission president, and you know that you need to do something.
And the why may not come.
The why doesn't come until later.
Yeah,
that's right. But I just recognize that there's a lot of divine direction in which missionary serves with which missionary. Now, that's not to say that every companionship works out wonderfully.
Right.
It doesn't. Sometimes because one or other missionary just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, missionaries are their own most important convert.
Yes.
And sometimes that conversion process takes a while. And in the meantime, you know, they'll say, "Why am I serving with this missionary? I can't get on with him. This isn't working." But once they get converted, there's a positive attitude that comes that will make almost anything work.
We're on the Mormon Channel. Into All the World is the program. I'm Tim Taggart, the host. We've been visiting with Peter and Sheena Joyce. And your assignment to serve as president president's wife in the Ogden, Utah mission, I'm sure has been a great blessing, but it provides an opportunity for you to see the Lord changing the lives of so many people, both the missionaries, the converts, and the members as they're engaged with the missionaries. And you, this change process is really what you've been a part of. What are some of those experiences that you've had where you've seen converts and missionaries and members work together to really create miracles?
You know, I'd have to say that in Utah, nearly every convert is a joint product of members and missionaries working together. You don't go very far as a missionary in Utah if you don't work with the members. You know, we've just watched wonderful people coming in. Sheena herself had the opportunity to just contribute to the conversion of one wonderful sister, didn't you? Do you want to share that?
Which one are you thinking of?
Well, I was thinking of the sister who was really doubtful about coming into the church, down in Roy.
Yes, her husband had been a member for a long time. And the missionaries had tried everything. And they called me up and said, would you come and help us teach? So I went, and we just clicked. It was one of those times when she and I just clicked. And I didn't do much, but the Spirit through me was able to do something, and that was good. Just life-changing experiences. And having been a convert, mm-hmm. and the missionary who taught me and who baptized me lived in our mission. Hmm. So I understood the relationships that develop, and the missionary still talks to me about her. And it's just, you well, can't
she,
doubt it.
Sheena's probably a sort of slightly unusual mission president's wife. She joined the church when she was 23. She had smoked, before mm-hmm. before the mission. And when missionaries were teaching our people about the word of wisdom, Sheena could identify with the difficulty of giving up smoking. So, frequently she especially would go and teach a convert who was having a problem living the word of wisdom, for example.
And there's this example side that's inspiring from both sides, and being able to understand and everything else. Didn't that also impact your missionaries? Didn't you feel a responsibility as a couple married and sealed in the temple with the missionaries who may not have had examples from parents who were active members of the church, sealed in the temple and that sort of thing?
We had many missionaries who, really had no parents. And we were their parents. Could we share that one? We had a missionary who came on his mission. His parents were very antagonistic and sent him literature about the church, that anti-literature, tried everything. Eventually got a letter from them saying his father had cancer. Could he come home? And he was devastated, but he elected to stay on his mission. 6 weeks later, another letter came. Father had died. And he still didn't go home, bless his heart. But it wasn't until about another 2 months that he had a letter from another member of the family. No cancer, no death. It was all just trying to get him to go home.
Wow.
And, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
You love him, and you talk to him, and you love him more.
And what a blessing to listen to a source of revelation that's higher than just instinct or feeling or emotion or rational decisions.
Well, it's very neat. That particular missionary, we attended his temple sealing while we were still on our mission.
Wow.
He got sealed here in Utah, and we were able to just go and share that blessing with him. And he now lives in the mission, very happily married.
Yeah, what a blessing. Yeah. Well, there will be so many residuals from your experience as you move forward. It'll be marvelous for years to come.
The thing I didn't expect, maybe conceitedly, I don't know, I got my priorities mixed up. I thought I'd be giving all the time. But we received. Oh, we received. We shared spiritual experiences. We grew. The missionaries shared, and we grew. And it is just the best, the most.
And this continues after our mission. We have the blessing of living in Draper, and of course, a lot of our missionaries come back to Utah to go to schools. Some of them up in Idaho, and some of them are down in Provo and in Ogden at the Weber State University, and up in Logan and. And so we just get sometimes floods of missionaries coming to see us. We keep up with them. We see them progressing. We see them dating and forming relationships. We see them getting engaged.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity to go to the temple with them and see them sealed. These blessings will just continue. And they're so excited. They Facebook us or write to us and tell us when they're having a child or when something exciting is happening in their lives.
I signed up for Facebook just 2 or 3 months after our mission. I thought, all right, I can deal with this. The next morning, 550 emails.
That's great.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's just eternal families. Mission families are eternal too.
Yes.
And they know we love them. We had one come to the home yesterday, just going to start at the Y, so keen to tell us he asked a girl to marry him on Saturday. We got another one coming tomorrow to see us. And
what a blessing.
Oh, yes.
What an incredible blessing.
And we just happened to have moved into the most wonderful ward in Draper. The bishop called me as the priest's advisor and just told me, get them all on missions. And this is a wonderful group of priests.
Yeah.
You know, about 16, 17 priests, all of them just great young men. And so I have the blessing of teaching them every Sunday now and preparing them with Preach My Gospel to go preach the gospel to the world.
What a wonderful calling. Yeah. Well, as we conclude, what we'd love to do is just to hear your testimonies, first of all. If we could start with you, Sister Joyce, and if you'll share your testimony, and then, President, if you'd conclude for us.
My testimony of the gospel. Everything I hold dear, everything I hold sacred, everything that is precious to me is connected to the gospel. My children, my grandchildren. But more than anything else, I'm just very grateful for the atoning sacrifice of a Savior. A personal Savior who knows me by name, knows me for all my faults, all my failings, and loves me. I testify that He is the Christ. That's the most important part of my testimony. But a close second is the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon was so instrumental in my own conversion. I love it. I know it to be the Word of God. When I joined the church, I was a divorcee. I'd lost my friends because I was a single woman. But I found friends in the Book of Mormon who taught me. If you've got an hour, I could tell you about them. But they taught me. They gave me hope. They gave me courage. They gave me strength. And they gave me an added testimony that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. That we have a living prophet on the earth today, and how I love him and his sweet wife. We pray for them every day, as we pray for the apostles and their families, as they pray for us. And the joy of service. Oh, the gospel has taught me that the pure joy in life. In our mission, we didn't write joy vertically, horizontally. We wrote it vertically. J for Jesus Christ, O for others, Y for yourself. And you taste that joy as you serve. It's just the best. I know the church is true. With my head, with my heart, and with my very soul. And I know I have a Father in heaven who loves me. Loves me anyway. I am a daughter of God. And if I'm a daughter of God, that makes me of value and of great worth. And if that's the only thing I had, it would be worth it. But I have so much more. And I testify to this in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, I've had the tremendous blessing of serving as a bishop 3 times and stake president for 6 years just before I came out on this mission. And I really felt that I had a very strong testimony of the gospel. That testimony just multiplied so many times on this mission. I love the gospel. I love the Savior. I too know that God lives. That is not an issue of question for me anymore. He answers prayers. I felt his revelatory spirit. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Redeemer, and have come to love him so very, very much. Because before you can really serve the Lord, you have to become converted yourself. And that means going to the Savior in an attitude of repentance. It happens to us all, and it's only when you've experienced the fruits of repentance and conversion that you can really make an impact on other people and bless their lives too. I am so grateful for Living Prophets. One of the tremendous blessings of serving in Utah has been to become more closely acquainted with some of the brethren. And that has just been a marvelous, marvelous blessing for us. You have this burning spiritual testimony that God leads his church through prophets. But when you come to know them and feel of their spirits personally, that testimony is burned even more deeply into your heart. I too know that the scriptures are true, that the Book of Mormon is the word of God. Sheena and I share a great love of that book. And we know, both of us, that life is eternal, that the time we spend here on this earth is just a brief mortal experience for spiritual beings. And we pray the Lord that we will be able to return to his presence. And I know that the gospel provides the way to do that. So I share that testimony with you also in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We've been visiting with Peter and Sheena Joyce, who've recently served in the Ogden, Utah mission as president. And we appreciate so much your sharing your testimonies with us today. I'm Tim Taggart, the host.
You have been listening to Into All the World.